I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Oldie But a Goodie. It is the podcast where we're dudes. We're in Australia. And we review movies from the year 1994 in order of release. It is second week of May. This film came out in the second week of May back in 94. My name's Sandro. That's Zach. Ka-ka! What are we reviewing today, Zach?
Ka-ka!
Oh. A film about a car?
No, that's dumb. It's a crow.
No, I thought you. It's the crow. Like, keep going. So I was going to be like,
yeah, no.
Oh, you're a
and
crow.
I decided once you were onto the bit that I would then ruin it. You see, that's the thing. We're doing the crow. Which is a cool movie.
Yeah. Let's get first impressions out of the way.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
It was a cool movie. I enjoyed it. You could see that, like, The Dark Knight was, like, heavily inspired by this movie, which was pretty cool. But I feel like it works.
Yeah,
it
definitely works.
Yeah. Real cool movie. I liked all the characters because they established them and all that.
Yeah. The Crow, there were... I had two other choices for this episode. One was called Crooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Great name.
Is it, though?
The name's great. I don't know about the movie.
I don't think I like it.
Crooklyn's... the greatest name.
It is a Spike Lee film, though, so I probably would have liked it.
Yeah.
But Crooklyn is a name of a film. I don't know. If you like it, that's fine. That's good.
Crooklyn's great. It's a great name.
And the other one...
It's a play. Here, I don't think you understand. It's a play on Brooklyn and Crook.
Yep.
And combining them together to make Crooklyn. You see, by explaining
It's just not a good film
by
name.
By explaining the joke, it makes it funnier. This is a fact.
Very much disagree.
This is a fact of comedy. Everyone knows this.
The other choice was Clean Slate. It's about a private detective guy. He gets amnesia and is like, I don't know who to trust.
Could it be good?
Let me look it up real quick. Clean Slate. You think it was pretty good.
No. I think
right?
It could be
you think
good.
It could
I,
be good.
I very much said could.
You think it could be good.
We should record the tape there. I said could.
19% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, and the DVD poster is this dumb face with a magnifying glass and the dogs in the background.
Those are two very 90s posters. They're like two... overly 90s.
It looks like it's a kid's film.
Yeah.
It might be.
Who knows?
I'm glad that we didn't do a family-friendly film this week, though.
Oh, yeah, no.
But it was, like, really good to have a pretty straight, dark film. Even though it's got some comedy aspects in it.
Yeah,
it's pretty
straight. It was good. No.
Really
it was great. I thought it really balanced well the sort of darkness of the whole thing and a sort of comedy aspect.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So the original comic book was released in 1989 by graphic artist James O'Bear. I don't know if I've read anything else that he's done, but the Crow comic book itself, really good. Really good. Even the sequel series are pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that I had read a couple of issues of this till I saw the movie poster. I was like, oh yeah, I have read a comic or two on this way back when.
There you go. The film, though, directed by Alex Proyas. He's Australian, so good on him.
Australians going getting we don't just put shrimp on the barbie. Something Australian. We're upside down.
Very nice. He hasn't done much, so let's just go through his entire filmography.
Okay.
Because what a ride. So the first film he did was called Spirits of the Air, Gremlins of the Clouds.
Wow, that is a name and a half.
It's an Australian post-apocalyptic film.
That sounds great.
It actually sounds all right. Apparently it's on, he's doing a re-release soon, so that's cool.
Oh, that is cool. Should see the re-release.
Then this was the second one that he ever did, The Crow. followed it up with something called Dark City and another one called Garage Days. Then he did a little-known film called I, Robot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's from that guy.
Interesting. There you go.
It kind of... Like, a lot of the dark shots through the city are very I, Robot-y.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I remember I kind of liked I, Robot.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Mm. I didn't recognize the director through this movie in I, Robot particularly, yeah. Which is interesting.
So the latest film he's done, though, was Gods of Egypt. You know that one. It's Gerard Butler, and he's an Egyptian god, and they've got to fight.
I know all about that.
Oh, what a film. Have you seen it?
No.
Don't.
Oh, wow. Sounds great.
The lead of the film, playing, of course, The Crow, or Eric Draven, because I guess The Crow is a crow. He's not really The Crow, is he? He doesn't call himself The Crow, or like no one calls him
Crow in this film. Yeah, no, he's just Eric, and they call The Crow The Crow.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Hmm.
But obviously he is The Crow, as it were.
It's true.
But yeah.
He's done heaps of kind of like action TV shows and those sort of things. This was his big breakout role. He did die on set though. There was a bit of a, I think it was like a faulty gun.
Yeah.
And shot a blank that ended up injuring him, and he died in hospital with a couple days left to shoot, which is a shame. I think they kept in the scene though, where he was accidentally properly shot.
Yeah, I think they kept it in. I have a feeling it was the church shot.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what do you think? Is that okay to just, like...
Well, he didn't die
He didn't die on... Yeah, no. It was, like, a couple days later. But still.
Yeah.
It's pretty grim.
Obviously, in a movie with a lighter tone, probably not.
Yeah. Anyway.
But it's a sort of testament to his acting as well, in that sort of manner. Because, you know, that was, like, one of the last scenes he acted.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's true. The other actor, I think, is Ernie Hudson. He plays the sergeant.
Yep.
He is, you know, of course, Winston from Ghostbusters. The critical reception for The Crow, though, very good. 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
Highest we've done so far.
Yeah. And I think well-deserved. It's a real good movie.
It's very good. With that, though, and considering that the film was of the highest rating... It is 100% R-rated over in America, MA in Australia. Yep. Although I think on release it was R in Australia as well.
Yeah.
It's pretty full on.
Yeah, no, it's pretty full on.
Yeah.
There's, you know, a bit of nudity and, like, there's a lot of violence and stuff. I would, like, it's funny how the Australian ratings board for movies is really lenient.
They are. But they are very lenient.
But, like, the gaming one is super strict.
Oh, yeah.
Which is real bizarre.
You can buy games in a video game. We're going to ban you, Hotline Miami 2.
Yep. Take that.
Very sad.
But anyway, The Crow, MA.
MA. People over 15 can go see this one. So it costs $23
million. $23
million. What do you think it made?
I'm going to say...
In America, of course, we don't have the worldwide stuff.
Right, yeah.
So a lot of the films we do.
I would hope it's successful, and it sounds like it was, so I'm going to go, like, $50 million.
Oh, bang on.
Really?
$50 million.
Damn.
That's how much it made.
Got him.
Yep.
I was like, do I go with $50 million? Nah, I don't know. That was my first instinct.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, we'll commit $50 million.
Yeah. It made back its money, so that's good.
Yeah, made back money and much
almost,
more.
Almost double.
Mm.
Should we go through the plot?
Yeah.
All right. It opens with... how every film opens in 94. Mm-hmm. See some houses, see the city, and there's a voiceover from a kid.
Yep. It's the classic movie opening where you have to have narration.
Yeah.
The latest one's Three Ninjas, child's narration, over all of them.
I'm very over child narration. I don't know if it needs to be in this film. Basically, the character Sarah is doing the narration, and she's like, you know, when someone dies, a crow comes and carries their soul to the land of the dead. But sometimes, when the soul's got things left to do on this earth, the crow resurrects that soul.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
she lets them carry out what needs to be done.
Fair enough. I had a few questions. First off, who believes in this?
Yep, just the kid.
I can't blame the directors, because it's a good way of getting exposition.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what this film is really good at as well, is just character development and exposition is pretty much done within the first 5 minutes of this film.
Yeah,
like, you know who characters are, whether or not you should like them, straight from the start.
Yeah, no, they go through a blitz of all these different characters. It's actually kind of good.
Yeah.
They introduce, like, one or two more later on, but yeah.
But for the most part, they're all there.
Yeah.
So we see the lead's house.
Yeah.
Eric. He lives on the top floor of this building. There's a big window. He's also a rock and roll dude.
Yeah.
He's been pushed out of the window and is...
dead.
Dead.
Very dead.
Very much dead. His girlfriend, Shelley. Well,
she's barely dead.
She's barely dead. She's still, like, hanging on a little bit, but she's half pretty half. Dead.
Like, she's going to die.
Yes.
But she's hanging on for the moment.
The cops are there, and the sergeant, our lead, is like, I'll escort her to the hospital.
Yep.
Make sure that she gets the treatment that she needs.
Yeah, well, good luck with that one, buddy, because she's going to die, Lamau.
And then the kid who was doing the narration comes up as well and is like, oh...
Where's Eric? Where's Shelley? Where's Eric? Is he napping? And the cop is like, howdy doody.
Yeah.
Yes.
The cop just tries to just try and skirt past everything that the kid asks.
Yeah, obviously.
And the kid's like, you think I'm an idiot?
Yeah.
I know exactly what's happening.
Well, yeah.
Then there's this weird, and this happens every now and then, and it might be my only negative point for the film.
Yeah.
The slow-mo cuts. The freeze frames, the slow-mos at the end of scenes.
Yeah, they were kind of obsessed with those effects in the 90s.
They really were.
I didn't mind it.
Okay.
I thought they were, like, there. I don't think they needed to be there.
Mm.
But they were okay.
Yeah.
We cut to her at a graveyard.
Mm.
Just sort of chilling out. Yeah. She steals some flowers from some graves.
You noticed this and were very upset about it.
I was like, well, that's very disrespectful. But then she tops it off and she gives, like, a whole bunch of these flowers to Shelley's grave, being like, hey, Shelley, here's some graves. And then she goes to Eric and gives one. I'm like, what? What?
It's so good. It's What's so happening? Good.
All right.
She just steals all these flowers.
Then she goes, meets up with her friend, the police commissioner dude. Yep. He's getting a sausage.
Yeah, that's right.
By the best character in this, the sausage guy.
You think sausage guy's best character?
Yeah, he's definitely the best. Cool. Like, the other characters are good, but they're nothing against the sausage guy.
I've got a quote then, here.
Yeah.
Is it the same the girl? One?
Yeah. Where she comes up and they're, like, talking, and it's like, hey, I'll buy you a sausage. And she's like, yeah, give me a sausage. No onions, though.
Mm.
What? Why no onions, Sandra?
Well, because the onions, you see, and I will quote Sarah on this, they make you fart big time.
Yeah. This is great. Which, does that count as a fart joke?
Yes.
I guess it is.
Well,
yes. But it's not using the fart.
Question. Is a fart joke if the fart is not in the joke?
Yes.
If you're just saying fart. It's a joke about a fart. Is it a fart joke?
Yes. It is a joke of a fart.
Mm.
But it is not a fart joke.
No.
Mm.
It's very interesting.
Philosophical time.
These are the tough questions we answer here.
The hard-hitting questions.
Anyway, a crow resurrects Eric.
Yeah, he's like, wah, activate crow powers! And then he transforms out of
the crow.
No, not the crow. No. That doesn't make any sense. No, it's Eric who transforms out of the grave into a living human.
And then for about 2 minutes, we kind of flash back and forth with Eric, like, oh, what's happened? I've just woken up. What is going on? Like, he's just, like, walking around trying to figure out what's going on. I'm guessing the crow guides Eric to certain things. Because we know that Eric can see through the eyes of the crow at times.
Yeah. And I think the crow is getting that bird's eye view. The crow's been watching these people. He knows where they are. It's using his magic crow powers to detect evil and other things like that. You know, crow powers.
So in this universe, are all crows
Yes.
supernatural
Yes.
heroes?
I'm saying yes right now.
It's good.
Every single one of
every single one
has supernatural crow powers to resurrect the dead. They just don't because they're assholes.
So every now and then they're like, yeah, look, this person deserves it.
Yeah. No.
Or is it more for the crow's fun that they bring him back to be like, what's going to happen?
They're like, oh, yeah, I've got to use my crow powers for good. Mm. I'm a good crow. Ka-ka. Let's resurrect this boy so we can murder people. Yeah. I'll get to eat the corpses. Yeah. And of course, justice and stuff like that.
Eric goes back to his old apartment. It's trashed. Yep. There's stuff all over the place. It's burned. It's a real mess.
Hey, but his cat's there.
His cat's there. Now.
Yeah, a lot of problems with this cat.
The cat is clearly a very, it's a domestic cat. It's a cat that relies on people to give it food. Yet it survives for a full year living in this abandoned house.
We know for a fact that later on we see the girl, you know. She's
Sarah,
she's taking care of this cat. And also, there is a very plain scene that there was a rat.
Oh, was there?
There was, one of those one-frame scenes where it just shows the rat sort of scurrying about to show how dingy and horrible the place is at the moment. But that means that there are rats there. So, I'm saying the cat's eating the rats as well.
Okay.
Which is helping it survive there.
This cat, it's a very good cat as well.
That's a fluffy white cat.
How it's a fluffy white cat in contrast to the rest of the film, which is dark and black and grey.
Yeah, well, because it's from his previous life where he was nice and happy. Yeah, lucky. It's good. I'm going to marry some. Oh, I'm dead because I got killed by these goons.
There's a pretty cool scene in this as well where he's testing out his strength and he holds onto
the
window.
It's a weird, because he's having these flashbacks of when he died, and so he reenacts all the scenes almost as he's reliving them. And he falls out the window, but just as he's about to fall, he grabs the windowsill and swings upward with almost inhuman strength. The glasses cut his hands. But then they just sort of heal in front of his eyes.
Yeah. It's he's got... So his power set is he's a bit stronger.
Yeah.
And all wounds heal instantly.
Yeah, they just heal up.
Yeah.
His scar... He's Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. He is Wolverine.
Yeah.
His emo Wolverine.
Claws. Emo Wolverine. Yeah, well, Wolverine was already...
Yeah, he was pretty emo.
Not really emo, though.
Is he... Yeah, I'd say he was more...
Screamo.
So he is all right, I know what's gonna happen.
Yep.
As he flashes back, he sees those four guys and he's like, I know what I'm gonna do.
Put on some makeup.
Yeah.
Makeup montage.
He gets white makeup all over his face, some eyeshadow there as well. Yeah,
he got some real edgy eyeshadow, some lipstick to make those big Joker-looking mouths.
It's interesting because in the comic, I'm pretty sure he's not there is eyeshadow in the comic, but for the most part, it's not much makeup. He's got lipstick and the over-exaggerated smile.
Yes. So he's got the sort of eyeshadow and stuff like that, but he doesn't actually have the white. But I mean, that's just a sort of creative license of situation where they just decided that would look cool.
Very good. Again,
it makes him look more supernatural.
Yeah. And again, very Heath Ledger Jokery.
Yeah. A lot of this film. You can see in scenes and other things that they got heavily inspired for that.
I already at this point of the film, we know Eric's deal. We already really hate those four dudes. Everything's set up.
Yeah.
Because there's four guys.
Yeah.
Tintin.
Yeah.
You've also got the big boy.
Yeah.
T-Bird.
Yeah.
The idiot. What was his name? Snatch?
Yeah, Snatch or something, yeah. And then you've got, Happy Face.
Fun Boy, yeah.
Fun Boy, yeah.
Fun Boy.
He's got, a smiley face.
He loves funds and drugs and all the fun stuff. It's Fun Boy.
Yep.
All right, so who's his first target? It's Tintin, right?
Yes. Yep. So Tintin, he's a knife-throwing dude.
Yes, he's got the knives. I'm pretty sure he's the one who made Eric fall off the building as well because of the knives. Was that him?
Yeah.
Or did he fall off because he got shot?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got shot.
Okay. He probably got hit with a knife at one point as well.
Yeah, just, knives.
So he hunts down Tintin, there's this cool scene where he confronts him in an alley and just falls off the building.
Oh, yeah, because he's jumping across buildings, which, for those people who have seen The Tick before, it's very obscure.
This is the first time you've referenced your love for The Tick on this show.
The Tick's great. I love The Tick. I have the movie, TV shows. Anyway, there, the comic The Tick, he jumps through the city. By jumping across buildings. It's exactly the same thing. Okay. Stolen, copyright the
Batman tent. Does it anyway. As well. Daredevil does it.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, the classic hero thing.
Yeah.
The joke with the Tick one is he just destroys the buildings. But anyway. Okay.
I need to watch the Tick.
The Tick's
you
great.
You keep talking about it.
I should bring it over sometime and you watch it. You'll love it.
It's a pretty good fight with Tintin. It's a cool fight. As well. It's very tense. There's a lot of knives and the throwing of knives and the catching of said knives as
well. Because I thought he was going to get stabbed. He doesn't get stabbed during the fight, but in fact, Tintin throws a whole bunch of knives at him. He misses twice, and on the third one, he like catches it midair and just piffs it back at him.
Yeah.
And gets him in the like shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he murders him.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does, and then he also paints a image of a crow.
Oh, yeah.
On the building near where Tintin is.
Because he does that, like, everywhere he goes, he just paints these crow pictures.
Yep.
Then we get a scene which introduces us to the main baddie dude.
The boss of all the bad dudes.
So, yeah, we're introduced to Top Dollar.
Big bad boy.
He's banging his sister.
It's just casually.
Yeah, no, they're banging, and we find later on, you know, that's his sister.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
She's also obsessed with eyes.
Alabama.
She's just obsessed with...
Yeah, and they have, like, a person, and she's like, I like her eyes! Pulls out knife, and it's like, oh boy, she's gonna cut out his knife.
It's so good.
Cut to the... there's, like, a dealer shop.
Yeah.
Where Tintin and the other guys have sold... all the stolen stuff.
Yeah, all the stuff that they stole from Eric's apartment that time as well. Yeah.
So Eric just sort of waltzes in and the guy's like, hey, you can't be in here, and tries to shoot him. He gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really effective.
No.
The guy's like, oh, it's not good.
No. And Eric's like, was there a golden engagement ring that showed up here a little while ago? And the guy's like, nah.
Yep. Which was a bad answer, so he gets thrown around a bit.
Yeah.
We eventually find the ring.
Yeah.
They have this sort of cool scene where he finds the ring, he gets some more flashbacks, then sort of confronts the dude, sprays some gasoline around everywhere. That was a good line.
This quote as well. While he's spraying the gasoline around, the shop guy's like, oh, they're gonna get you, the other three of them and Top Dollar, they all work out of this nightclub, I'm gonna tell them they're gonna come and get you. And Eric's like, what, a whole jolly club with jolly pirate nicknames? I'll kill them all. Okay.
yeah it's great. Their lines are great.
Yeah.
So he gets all the rest of the rings and he loads them into his shotgun.
Yeah.
And then he walks out of the building and is like, do you smell gasoline? And the guy's like, oh no! And he sort of runs out of the building and then he shotguns these rings into the gasoline, which makes a huge explosion.
So big.
He poured like two gasoline canisters and it makes this giant explosion.
It's huge.
It's pretty spectacular.
I think a lot of that 20 million went into these explosions, and it shows. They're good. They're very great. Good. The sergeant guy, though, meanwhile, all this is happening, he is trying to figure out who killed Tintin.
Yeah.
I think the sergeant is also like, oh, what? That building just exploded. So he gets out of the car and sees like Eric walking over and is like, hey, what were you doing in the building that just exploded? And Eric's like, that's me. I also killed Tintin, by the way.
Yep.
That was me as well.
Yep, and they have this, like, conversation where the sergeant then gets distracted for a second, looks back, and he's gone. Eric's just disappeared.
And he goes, oh, a guy shows up looking like a mime from hell and then vanishes out into the open.
Yeah.
It's a good line. I like it.
Yeah.
A mime from
hell. What the hell? A mime from hell.
isn't this where Sarah is, like, skateboarding through town?
Yeah.
And she's about to get hit by a speeding taxi.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, I'll save you.
Yeah. And he saves her, and she, like, yells at him for a bit, talks with him. And then he says something which reminds her of one of the songs he made. And she's like, wait a minute, Eric?
Yeah.
And she turns and he vanishes. Yeah. So
We cut back to Top Dollar. And this is a moment.
The guy's talking to his boss.
Yeah.
T-Bird's talking to 3D What's-His-Face.
Yeah.
And they're, like, talking about, oh, Tintin's died, someone's attacking him and stuff. They stabbed all his vital organs in alphabetical order. And I was like, hang on a second. How the hell do you know that they were stabbed in alphabetical order?
You can't tell. You can't tell.
There's no way that they would know that. There's no explanation for how they know it. Obviously, that's a thing from the comic where he's like, I'm going to stab your organs in alphabetical order or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's been translated into this movie to be a one line here. And it makes no sense that he knows that. And I was like, what the hell?
Yep.
You don't know that.
Also, during this scene, Top Dollar and his sister are smoking an eye. The eye that they
Casually... They have it in, like, this goblet.
Yeah.
And they're just frying it up and sniffing those lovely, lovely eyeball smoke.
Yeah. He's also got a mountain of cocaine. So, you know.
Cocaine and eyeball smoke.
So good. Peak 90s.
Just like Mother used to make.
Eric, he gets back to it. He's back to hunting down number two. Is Funboy. He is getting high in a club with Sarah's mum.
Morphine, I think.
Eric shows up and he's like, what are you doing? I'm going to put my gun up to you. Don't come any closer.
And he's like, yeah, shoot, you idiot. And he shoots him.
Yeah.
And it does nothing.
No. Eric gets the gun from Funboy, shoots him in the leg.
Oh, yes.
Funboy's about to pass out and he says, oh, I can't believe it. Look at what you've done to my sheets.
What have you done to my sheets? Blech.
Yep. That's good. That's good.
Eric kills him by just overdosing him on his drugs that he loved so much.
And then he also draws a crow on his chest.
Yeah, well, that too. Because, of course.
Yep.
And then Eric has a talk with Sarah's mum. He's like, shouldn't do drugs. You're a mum. Got to take care of your child.
Yep.
And then he uses his powers to remove the drugs from her system.
It comes out of nowhere. What's his power?
I don't know.
We never see it again.
No, he just sort of holds her up to a mirror. Yeah. And you see the scene. It's kind of a little gross. Where you see, like, the holes which she injected it, and it just sort of pours out.
It kind of comes out of... We never really see it again, but...
comes out of nowhere?
I guess...
Yeah.
I guess it's pretty useful power.
Yeah, no. Yeah. The anti-drugs power.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yep. He's such a great role model.
Yeah,
right?
Great so role good. Model. If people kill you, just kill them back.
Yeah, and also don't do drugs.
And also don't do drugs.
It's great. And then Eric's like, I should probably go talk to this, to the cop guy. Just to, you know, make sure we're cool, you know?
Yeah,
so he doesn't come and arrest me.
Yeah.
So he goes over to the cop guy's house, and as soon as we see the sergeant there in his house, you know, he's wearing shorts, he's wearing a t-shirt, he's getting ready for bed, he's just relaxing, but he's still wearing his police hat on.
Yep.
He's still wearing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a bit weird. I'm gonna write that down. Immediately Eric is like, hey man, you're still wearing your hat.
And then he's like, oh right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
I'm linked to this guy.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's
you're
so good.
I'm loving the film. It was good.
They have a chat. I think Eric also mind melds with him.
Yeah.
Well, not like mind meld, because that's...
Yeah, no. He mind melds. He Vulcan mind melds with him to get, like, the dying moments of his wife / girlfriend / fiance, and that the cop, like, stayed with her for, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, thanks, man. You're real cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for staying with her.
It was a really good scene, though.
Yeah,
Brandon Lee, great actor.
Yeah.
He's really good. Like, he can do everything. Like, when he wants to be angry, he's great at that. When he wants to do serious stuff, he's great at that. He does the comedy very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great.
He's all around real good.
It's good. Real good.
Yeah.
And then we have a good old emo rock out scene where it's Eric on his building where he died playing hardcore rock.
Yeah.
It's raining.
It's so good.
And he has no shirt on. It's the most emo shot of, like, the whole film, I think.
Yeah.
Super emo shot. Very nice.
It's very good. And then he's like, all right, it's time. Time to go get T-Bird.
Now that I've done the emo shot, it's time for justice.
So he hunts down T-Bird. T-Bird has stolen a car.
Eric pops in the back seat when they're not looking. Pops out and is like, all right, let's drive.
Crow, he ties up T-Bird to the car.
Yeah, using the classic duct tape.
So good. Using in every situation.
Murder you kill a bad someone, guy.
Use some duct tape.
Easy great.
You want to fix your bath? Use some duct tape.
Want to fix your bath so you can murder a guy in your bathtub?
Mm-hmm.
Duct tape.
Some duct tape, man.
Fix
everything.
It's cool because then T-Bird recognizes him and then he like freaks out because, wait a minute. There ain't no coming back.
Yeah.
There ain't no coming back. He says this several times and then he quotes scripture because that's his thing. He like quotes scripture while doing evil stuff. Yeah. And so this is a cool scene. I love this where he, the car is full of explosives.
Yeah.
And so he puts it in drive or whatever and it drives down the pier. But just as it, like, goes off the pier, it explodes.
Mm.
So it sends this car sort of flying in this big explosion over the water before it crashes into it.
It's very cool.
I love that scene. I thought that was a really cool scene. T-Bird is now dead bird.
Hey!
Got him.
Nice. So Skank, he goes off to talk to Top Money.
Yep.
And he's off his mind.
Yeah, he's freaking out. He's like the coward of the group, which is great. Of course, he leaves him to last.
He's like, oh no, a ghost is going to come kill my ass.
Ghost is going to kill my ass.
He says it so many times.
Great. Love it.
So they're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep Skank here. Eric will come for him.
Yeah.
So the bad guys all having a big old meeting.
Yep. And then Crow lands on the table and like, the crow, that means... And of course, Eric strolls in like, what up, bad guys? This scene was super like the Joker scene where he comes into the bad guy's room and is like, hey, what's up? I'm going to stab someone with a pencil.
Yep.
Magic trick. Lol.
It's very similar to that.
It's really similar to that, the whole bad guys meeting, and then he just strolls in.
Yeah. They all just open fire on him.
Yeah, it's great.
And then he's like, guess go kill everyone. So he does. It's like 3 minutes of just like madness. It's really well done.
It's really cool. He kills all these bad guys except like the main bad guys.
Yeah, there is Skank, obviously. There is Top Money, Top Money's sister girlfriend, eyeball loving. What a great character.
Eyeball loving lady. Great stuff.
And then there's also this really cool looking hitman
We haven't really talked about him, but he's throughout this movie, and he's the coolest looking character in this film.
Yeah.
He's just this guy with black shades in a dapper suit and hat with like a silvered pinky or something.
Yeah,
he's got
cool.
like a metal piece across him. He's just really cool. He has a cool gun.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do much in this film.
No.
He does have an important role near the end, but we're getting to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's cool.
That's right. Eric kills everyone in the room. He then goes up to Skank and is like, hey, you're the last one. Guess it's not a good day to be a bad guy.
Yep.
Just throws him out the window. The cops come. Eric's got to escape the cops.
Yep.
And his sergeant friend comes to the rescue. He's like, hop in the back seat. I'll drive you to safety.
Yeah.
It's good on him.
They have a connection now because they have that talk like,
oh,
yeah, you watched my wife girlfriend die. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, yeah.
He's just a nice sergeant.
Yeah, he's a great sergeant. Love that boy. Mwah.
Meanwhile, the three surviving evil dudes.
They're like...
The hatch plan.
What can we do? And creepy sisters, like, it is the crow that gives him the power. We must kill the crow. Kill the crow, you kill the man.
Exactly.
I'm creepy. She said, I like eyeballs.
I also like crow eyeballs.
I want to get the crow for its eyeballs.
What do you think she does with the eyeballs? Smoke them? She eat them? She have like an eye collection?
She smokes them.
Yep.
You know, and breathes in all the smoke and stuff. Then the smoked eyeball eats that.
Oh.
Yeah.
No good.
Delicious.
What a
reuse,
what a horrible...
reduce, recycle. Oh,
so gross. Well, I guess she's helping the environment.
Exactly. You know? And,
oh, dear.
Yeah.
So they go to a graveyard, and Sarah's at the graveyard, and they kidnap her and take her into a church. And I'm like, ha ha ha, we've got Sarah now.
And Eric's like, oh no, they've got Sarah.
That's right, it turns into a Looney Tunes episode for the final act. They kidnap her, and he's like, well, gotta go and save her in the church. And so he does... And the crow shows up.
They have this bit of a shoot up where then the hitman, the cool dude, he actually, you know, sort of snipes the crow.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh no.
Just in the wing. Yeah.
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 It doesn't kill the crow, but then the bad guy sort of shoots Eric in the shoulder, and Eric's like, oh no, I ain't immortal anymore.
Mm.
Whoa. But then, out of nowhere, the cop shows up.
Yep.
And starts firing on the baddies.
Yeah.
So they regroup.
Yep.
Eric's like, oh yeah, I was a model. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Got shot in the shoulder.
I got shot.
Cop's like, well, you're going to be less help than you were before.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, I know. I'm bleeding out here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Top Money, he has this line
where
he's like trying to taunt Eric. He's like, hey, you're not healing. I'm impression for you. Bang!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm dead.
Yeah, no. Oh, that was great. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, no. Because he goes up to him. Here's my impression of you. Coco, bang!
It's like just...
It's so good.
It's so out of character for the bad guy.
No, it's not even out of character. I think it's in character, but it's like out of nowhere for the film.
It's a line.
Great. Near the end of the climax as well. Anyway. Yeah. They have this big shoot-up. They climb up to the top of the tower.
Mm.
Then Creepy Sister Eyeball Wife...
Yep.
Grabs...
Creepy Sister Eyeball Wife is the best name.
That's
true.
What a character.
That's the whole character.
That sums up her entire character. She grabs the crow and is like, all right, I have your power now. I have the power. But then the...
Give me the power, I beg of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
And he's like, oh, no. But then...
And Skeletor shows up.
Yeah. But then the crow's like, not having none of this. And it pecks out her eyeballs.
Oh.
Which is an ironic... ironic
so much
death.
Irony.
Yep. So she gets her eyes pecked out and then falls off.
Yeah.
And dies.
Very. Oh, the scene with her eyes pecked out is very distressing.
Yeah, no. You know.
Yeah.
Ironic.
It's how it happens.
So, yeah. And then they go onto the roof.
Yeah.
Of course. They had to go on the roof.
It's a pretty good sword fight scene with Top Dude.
Yeah, so he has a sword and Eric grabs, like, ornament for the top of the church. They have a battle. And I was like... One, he grabbed the ornament off the building really easily. He just sort of wrenched it off.
Yeah.
So, not very well fastened. And or he used his strength powers to rip it off.
Yeah.
Then again, I was just a bit like, how well would that hold up as a weapon?
I don't know. It holds up alright. He gets rid of it after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, no, it was a weird criticism I had. I don't know why I took that in as a criticism.
It's totally
fair
enough.
They have a cool fight. He's about to lose the fight.
Mm.
He gets stabbed by the bad guy. But then Eric's like, Vulcan mind meld.
Yeah.
And he like implants the memories of his wife dying.
Yeah.
For like 30 hours. That was pretty cool.
And then
the bad guy's like,
whoa, why am I remembering all these things? And then he falls off and gets skewered.
Yeah. He gets impaled by an imp statue.
The irony is so strong in, at the end of this film. And then, they all group up. Eric's like, Sarah, you gotta stay with the sergeant until the cops come here so we can get some help. And then Eric, he goes and he finally has a rest.
Yep. He goes and dies. Woman,
yeah, he dies.
Yay! And that's the end of the film.
The end of the film.
That's all, folks.
Yeah. Really good. Really good movie.
It was a cool film. I really enjoyed it. I was not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did.
Mm.
I thought it was going to be like a good film, but I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah.
Because it's like this dark, a lot of dark themes, but with like some just light bits of comedy.
Yeah.
Like perfectly strewn in.
Yeah. It's a little bit Robocop-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's dark and violent, but funny. But like, it does it really all really good. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I haven't seen this film in a while.
Yeah.
And I was pretty surprised by how well it actually does hold up.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw this film. I think I may have seen an opening or something. I have no idea. I honestly cannot remember.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it now, and it's good. I think that's all that matters.
And of course, you know, Brandon Lee, it's such a shame that...
Yeah, it's a shame that he died, because I think he could have done a lot of good
definitely
roles after this. Like, the Joker. He would have been a great Joker.
He would have been a really... He wouldn't have even done Batman. Like, he's so good as just, like, both of them.
Yeah, because clearly, Heath Ledger, like, he took inspiration from this sort of movie.
Yeah.
And it really shows, and it's real good.
Definitely shows.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a goodie. I'm pretty sure you're giving it a
100%. Yeah, I'm giving this a good.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. It's a great film. And it paved the way for many great things.
Yes. Now, you mentioned before you got an idea for your sequel.
Yes, I got an idea for my sequel kind of early on in this film.
Yeah. So, please.
I will go with my idea for a sequel and or spin-off in our new segment, sequels and or spin-offs to the movie we just watched.
Working title.
We should probably work on that.
Working title. I'll call it the squeakquel.
No.
Segment.
I know that there are actual sequels to this movie that follow on the character of the Crow.
You mentioned there was like a lot.
There's a few. Let's talk about them after we pitch ours.
Yeah.
Because I was more interested in following on the characters who survived this movie. More specifically, Sarah.
Right, yes, because she's obviously the youngest there.
Eric came back from the dead because of the crows.
Yep.
If that happened to you, you'd be obsessed with crows, right?
Yes,
you'd be
of course. Oh, I have the knowledge that crows can resurrect people. Yes. Oh, I just know that now.
Exactly. And I think with the knowledge that crows can bring people back to life comes the potential for, you know, a sort of like religious aspect with the crows.
Right.
The Church of the Crow.
Oh, all right.
And that's what the name of my film is.
Church of the Crow.
Church of the Crow. It's not just a church. It's more of a cult, right?
Oh.
She is the founding member.
Of course.
But a couple people, you know, on the committee, a couple people who are running it with her, they're just in it for the greed. They're just in it for the money.
Right,
and they're trying to push her out. And so we get this struggle between... Sarah, who knows that the crows are supernatural beings and the people who just want power, who just want to control stuff. And then, spoilers.
Yeah.
Sarah gets kicked off the committee and the greedy guys are like, we own this.
We run this church now.
We've got the power.
Yeah.
And then a crow brings Eric back to life and he kills all the board members. And Sarah's like, I got control of the church again.
Nice. Great. You have the cult now. Woo.
So that's my one, Church of the Crow.
Okay, that's pretty good.
What about you?
All right. In the exposition in the start of the movie, it is made canon that the crows control life and death.
They do, yeah.
They transport souls to the afterlife. So I think at some point, the crows are like, nah, we're done with this. And they stop transporting people's souls to the afterlife. Oh,
the crows go on strike. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much on strike.
I see what
this... So people can't die. So you got zombie people who aren't like regular zombies. They're just people.
Yeah.
And they can't die and they're kind of upset about things.
Right.
Like, if you've been recently murdered, you're like, hey, not cool, dude. I'm very upset with you. But then you try and kill him and he won't die. and there's like anarchy in the streets. It's okay. This big panic.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
And then, of course, the government gets involved. They're like, we have to do something about the crows, and they need an expert.
Mm.
And that's when we bring Sarah
in. Of course.
Sarah needs to come in, and she's like, oh, I've dealt with these before. And, she gets Eric, and together they team up. Now, with her being like a grown-up at this point, him not aging because he's
been dead. Who's she played by?
Let's say Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Because she's like an action spy hero for some reason. Okay. Then here's how it finishes. You get the cat. The cat comes in.
Oh no.
And it turns all Egyptian. Because you see, the Egyptians worship the cats.
They
That's because the cats have the power to defeat the crows. Get him in line. And the crows get back to work and everything's normal. But cool. No one looks at the crows the same ever again.
I would watch both of these.
Yeah.
They both sound good. They both sound good.
Yeah, I love
like them. Well, that's not what they did for the actual sequels.
Yeah. So you mentioned sequels.
All right. They rushed out a sequel in 1996.
Yep.
Called The Crow, City of Angels.
Uh-huh.
Ash Corvin, he's played by Vincent Perez, and his son dies. Mm-hmm. And he has to avenge the people who killed his son.
Rough.
Apparently, it's real bad.
Okay.
Let's just quickly look at the box office. Oh, it made $17 million. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but how much did it cost?
We don't know. And also, it's got 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yikes.
Anyway.
Probably cost more.
So then they were like, why don't we just reboot the original film?
Okay, yeah.
So in 1998, 4 years after the original film...
4 years. That's not very long at all.
We then get a TV show.
Oh, no. And it's a TV show.
The Crow, Stairway to Heaven.
Okay, so wait. Are they doing just the movie but in TV show form?
I think...
I could see how that could be good. Because if it's a TV show, it's not like just a literal reboot of the movie. It's actually something different and you can expand on it. Get more things from the comics.
Oh, man. Episode 13 is called The People versus Eric Draven. Eric is put on trial for the murder of Shirley.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
Wait, what?
So he must then get framed for the murder of his girlfriend.
How?
Which means that he's just like a normal guy living out his life and then at night becomes a vigilante.
That's weird.
22 episodes. Oh. So then we get, in 2000, The Crow, Salvation.
All right.
This one actually stars Kirsten Dunst.
Okay.
So that's good.
All right.
And it's based off the actual sequel in a series of novels, I believe, that were based off The Crow.
Comic book. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So actual sequel.
Yeah. So this is, another character... you know, is resurrected and has to avenge
someone. Yeah, because presumably there's a universe where the crows just do that.
Yeah, I guess. That's
pretty cool.
That's what it is. And then the fourth and final film, The Crow, Wicked Prayer.
Uh-huh.
Released in 2005, starring none other than Mr. Brainscan himself, Edward Furlong.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, there you go.
He plays the crow.
It all loops around.
He plays the crow. I think Tara Reid is in it as well, who's from Sharknado. Anyway.
That's a good cast line then, if you've got someone from Sharknado.
She plays a Satanist. You know you're doing well. That's good. He's in jail, and his last name is the Spanish word for crow, and so he becomes the crow.
Ah, okay. Does he die?
I don't care. All of them... under 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
They're all really bad.
That's rough.
There was also talk last year of rebooting The Crow.
Okay.
With Jason Momoa playing him. Of course, from Aquaman and Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. He'd be a cool crow.
He'd be alright.
He'd be like a very scary crow because he's just a giant beefy dude.
Yeah.
Come in and you'd be like, oh no, that's not good.
So yeah, that's where the franchise actually went. They just tried to, you know, do the same plot all over again. We didn't do that.
Yeah, no, we came up with way better ideas.
Yeah.
Possibly even better than the original film themselves.
I don't agree with that, but...
Wow.
Apparently...
Okay, yours might be worse, but mine was clearly top standard.
Yeah. So that is our review of The Crow.
Excellent. Speaking of reviews,
you can review us on iTunes.
Or subscribe on the YouTubes.
Or subscribe on Spotify.
Or go on SoundCloud.
Or like us on Facebook.
Facebook.
Or message us on Instagram. Or just follow us on Instagram.
Or check us an email.
Yeah.
At www.
Don't you just send emails to websites? That would be pretty funny, though. Definitely try sending an email to www.tedcruz.com. What happens.
So, yeah.
The links to all that in our descriptions. And also, tell a friend. If you got some friends, we'd love to.
You might not have any. That's a shame.
That's fine.
Sorry about that.
Just make some friends on Omegle, then tell them about it.
Yeah. Just go on Omegle. Just be like, yo, have you heard of the great show?
And they're like,
don't care. Bye.
Bye.
Which is fair. Yep, understandable. Definitely. But hey, you're getting the word out. Yeah. That's all that matters.
That's just how we keep the show going. We're almost halfway through the year, which is great fun. We're, in fact, next episode, it's number 20.
Yeah.
And you were choosing what we are reviewing for episode 20.
Right, yes. So, right. What are my choices?
Got two choices.
Yep.
Two choices right
here. Two choices, okay.
All right. Your first choice is called Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
What?
I'm not sure what genre this film is.
What?
It could be a drama, comedy, satirical sort of thing, but it could also
be isn't it like an arty western film?
So it's about Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
And she's got very large thumbs.
What?
And she uses them to hitchhike.
What? That sounds so dumb.
It's based off a book that was like experimental. Yep.
What's the other one?
The other choice is Maverick. It's based off the TV show from the 50s where Maverick is this guy and he's like gonna try and win some money at a card game, and a card game goes wrong and then it turns into a western.
Alright. Well, those sound equally as good as each other. And I kind of want to see what the first one is. So whatever the one with the big thumb lady is, that sounds
ridiculous.
Even
cowgirls get the blues. The whole premise is she's got big thumbs. What's up with that?
What has anything to do with the title, have anything to do with the movie, anything?
It could be, look, I don't know. We finish each episode with our other popular segment, quotes from the film, which is Saw.
Yep.
What is your favourite quote?
Well, there's a lot of good quotes in here.
It's true.
I'm not sure which one I really wanted to do, but I think I'll go with, look what you've done to my sheets.
That was a good one.
As a quote.
That was a good one. Look, quick impression for you.
Quick impression
of you as well. Caw, caw, bang. Oh no, I'm dead.
Yeah. This is great. All right.
We'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.